Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We love being with you, and we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. And remember that you can always listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. Well, as October draws to a close, which I can hardly believe, the church invites us into a sacred three-day journey known as Hallowtide, and beginning with All Hallows Eve, continuing with All Saints Day, and finishing with All Souls Day. Hallowtide is much more than what the pop culture of today thinks it is, which is costumes and candies and sometimes just rather demonic. It's a season with a profound reminder to a call of holiness, praying for the dead, and the hope of eternal life in the communion of saints in heaven. So our question for today's show is this. In what ways does Hallowtide comprising of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, inspire you to pursue holiness both in this life and in the life to come, which is really important. We need to not be short-sighted in that we're living for the day. We need to have the long view of that we're just sojourners in this land, but we have an eternal home, and it's heaven. And in this life right now, we want to live for it. Amen. We want to live for heaven. We want to pray for the people who might be in purgatory. We want to participate in this Hallowtide as the way God would have us to do, not as this crazy culture would have us to do and be.
Great topic, great subject, and I'm very excited about it.
Yes.
The emphasis on All Hallowtide, Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, All Souls Day. The unexamined life, someone said, is a life that's not worth living. Mm-hmm. Let us examine ourselves. Let's prepare to meet him face to face. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our question for today's show is this. In what ways does Hallowtide, comprising of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day, inspire you to pursue holiness, both in this life and in the life to come? And All Hallows Eve by Anthony DiStefano. A few weeks ago, we had on his best-selling book, Anthony DiStefano, to share all about this great book for children and even adults to learn about the true meaning of Halloween. Yeah. And we made sure we got a copy for our grandchildren and had it sent to their houses so they could all understand it. Because if you don't, the culture right now, if you go into the stores, if you drive around in certain neighborhoods, it's rather ghoulish out there. There are witches and, I mean, you just think, wow, this is really intense. The expense that people go through and the costumes and the evil that gets accentuated as opposed to the holiness that should be accentuated. And I know that at the cathedral, what we do for All Saints Day, All Souls Day, is Father has an envelope and you're able to write all the people's names that who you want to be prayed for, who you or your deceased loved ones, right? Do you pray for the dead? Do you think it's over. Do you think, I don't have any commitment, I don't need to do anything about that? Well, the church teaches us otherwise. And so Father has the beautiful envelopes, and I wrote down all the people's names. You put a check in it, and then Father puts it on the altar during that season, those days, and prays for all the people at the masses.
There's a novena they pray, the priest pray every day for all of your loved ones that you've placed on that. And that's just really, really meaningful. EWTNRC.com for Anthony DiStefano's book on Halloween, EWTNRC.com. And so I've mentioned a number of times that, you know, for me, Halloween, All Hallows Eve, was a very important date for me because my mother passed away on Halloween when I was 5 years old. And Halloween was ugly where I came from in New Jersey. I don't mean the feast day. I mean what was going on. What did we used to call that day before?
Mischief night,
you know. So it was like this. I always felt I didn't like Halloween because of the passing of my mother and the ugliness of it. And then later on, I learned, as I understood, that it was All Hallows Eve, a holy eve in preparation for all saints. And then I kind of got, as I went on my journey of conversion, and said, what a blessed day to pass away from my mother, you know? And I felt so much better about that. And growing up, I was always aware of death. Not super afraid of it or anything, but I was appreciative of my father, of other people. I would look at people and I would just say, he's gonna die.
Right.
He's gonna die. It was like, he's gonna die. It's like, I need to love him. I need to look into his face, other people as well. And this is important. I mean, this is what the Hallowtide is about, is contemplating, thinking, pummeling our body and bringing it into submission, as St. Paul says, like an athlete, right? And we're gonna talk about that in our other shows coming up with John Acquaviva, who deals with sport and athletics. And this is what we're doing here. I mean, this is our spiritual athletic athletic game and preparation. Are you doing that? Do you realize that you are going to pass away sooner maybe than later than you think? And are we preparing, especially as we get older now, right? I mean, that's my big goal now, to prepare to meet the Lord face to face, to not shrink back. Are you doing that? Does All Hallows Eve help you with that? All Souls Day, do you go to a cemetery? Do you visit your loved ones that are buried there? That would always be a big thing for me back in New Jersey. There's so many graves there, my mother, now my father, and uncles, and grandma, and grandpa. And I had that tradition that we would go. We would, and I could always see my father cleaning off the grave there and making everything right. And when we visit New Jersey, we go back, we do the same kind of thing. We're cleaning them off. Are we cleaning off our loved ones? And maybe indeed they are saints now. We don't know, but we say a prayer for them. So we don't just clean off the grave. See, that's the physical of what we're supposed to be doing spiritually, that we're cleaning them off. Lord, if they need any dusting, any cleansing, of course their sins are forgiven if they're in purgatory, going through purgation, but it's like the temporal effects, the residue of sin. Lord, just cleanse that so that they can have all the fullness of seeing you face to face. So when you go into cemeteries and you're picking a little grass or you're doing whatever, hopefully you're praying, and that it is a prayer that you're praying for all of these souls. And we experience, you know, the communion of saints, right, in these 3 days. Hallows Eve, preparation for All Saints Day, those that have been declared saints by the Lord, and many, many millions more that are saints. We just don't know them, but they're there.
Right.
And then preparing for our own home going.
Right. And there's that beautiful picture of the, of saints and the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. And all the readings just this past Sunday were encouraging us as the people of God, as we are on this journey, as we are these pilgrims on this journey, that we would not grow weary. That we would not be people that would just, I'm tired of praying, I'm tired of living, I'm tired of being, I'm tired of fighting the good fight. And they're like cheering us on and saying, no, you know, this life is short. And there's a great scripture verse from Hebrews and says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance, the race that is set before us. And you know, that is helpful, because sometimes it's like, we need to be encouraged. There are times in my former life, I was a cheerleader. And I some days just wake up and cheer for joy. Come on, joy, you can do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of like, do it. You got to do it. You can't give up. You have to take the next right step. Yeah. You have to be full of faith. You have to be full of hope. You have to be full of love. And the church celebrates this time and encouraging us because this is temporary. This is not our home. Heaven is our goal. Yeah. And I read that great book by Monsignor Pope, and I encourage you all to read it. The Hell There Is.
Say it again.
The Hell There Is, because there is a hell. And we, you know, if you go to a funeral, the person may have been a wretch in this life. They make them out to be a saint. Yep. The eulogies and the praises, and it's like, do we have any, if everybody dies and everybody goes to heaven, do we?
Yeah.
Do we? God alone is our judge. Mm. And so, but we is our capacity, this side of heaven. We have to live holy lives. We have to run. We have to run with endurance to say, Jesus, I want to cling to all the things that are good and true and beautiful. And Lord, make my heart pure and holy. Cleanse my mind. Break off of me anything that would oppress me in this life. You get discouraged. You get weary. You get hopeless. And sin will separate you in a nanosecond from God. It will separate you.
We have a comment here. Hallowtide reminds me that the path to holiness is not a journey taken alone. There is an army in heaven praying for me, and that I should do the same for others, both living and departed.
Yes.
Rojas from Texas. Mm-hmm. Excellent. We just heard that in the Hebrews passage. It's like you're in a stadium, mm-hmm. and all these people are with you. So like you're saying, we've got to discipline ourselves, pummel our bodies, run the race, but we don't do that alone.
Right.
So our faith is deeply personal, but it's not private. Your faith is not private. It's personal. It's not a private faith. You're in communion and in union with the church militant here on earth that are waging the warfare and the fight, battling, willing to lay down their lives. You're with the church militant. You're with the church going through cleansing and purification that are on their way to heaven, and you're with a multitude that nobody can number in heaven. Are you calling upon them? Mm. Are you saying, I just feel so weak? Do you have particular saints that you pray to, that you ask help from? And it's so nice to be, we're growing so much in the communion of saints, mm-hmm. you know, in our own lives, mm-hmm. and you do really sense that support. And it's not, you know, like you're kidding yourself about something. The saints are alive and they're praying for you, and the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all their different connections. And so if you want to finish the race, keep the faith. If you're running for the crown that does not perish, he's saying people on this earth, the greatest athletes, are running for crowns that will perish.
Yes.
I'm running for the crown that will be eternal, and I'm running to take first place.
Right.
And speaking spiritually, I mean, is that your attitude? And are other people training you that you know here? Are you in an accountability relationship? Do you have a counselor of some kind? Are you going to confession? All of these things help to build you up, and we should be considering them during Hallowtide.
Right.
Visit the cemetery. Say, I'm aware of my own impending death, and Lord, I don't want to shrink back in fear. I just give myself to you. Go to church, make a good confession. I love that our bishop on All Souls Day, he sets up an altar in the cemetery, mm-hmm. in the Catholic section of the cemetery,
yes.
and he holds mass there on the gravesite of Father James E. Coyle, our former pastor. We didn't know him personally, 1921, who was assassinated in our church, just outside of the church, the parsonage, right? He was killed for being Catholic. And so he sets it up right there. And even at Father Coyle's, because I wrote a little book on Father Coyle, Killed in the Line of Duty, it's called. And, in that service, the bishop said, Father Coyle was a great man, a great soul. You know, he came from Ireland, a missionary priest, ministered here 17 years. His life was under threat for 2.5 years by the Klan, that they said, we're going to kill you. And he didn't leave. And they killed him. And so even in that, he says he was a great man. He stood the faith. But, you know, only God knows his soul. That's what he said. So let us pray for Father Coyle. So you were saying some people, you know, maybe they're wretched to some degree, but we have to pray for those that we think are good, that are probably in heaven. But he says, you know, you don't know. God knows. And you don't pray, you know, in fear, but, you know, we just pray, Lord, now we want to assist him. Father Coyle said in one of his, because he's got 18 volumes of writings, and he said to the congregation, not many of you are asking us to have a mass for souls that are passed, your loved ones, your friends. You don't ask. And you know what he said? Something like, he said, oh, well, very well, we too will be forgotten when we die with nobody to pray for us. Like, is that what you want? Get the prayers in. Get the masses going. And he's great.
Yeah.
And he lost his life in that way. So if he needed prayer, we all need prayer in that way. We need to assist one another. And that's part of the communion, the union of saints, the militant, in process to heaven, and you know, all souls.
Yeah. And so today, all you and I can do and be is the best version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Lord, make us holy during this time. Make us mindful of our own mortality. Go to confession and then say, I choose by an act of my will to love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Be the best wife, be the best mother, be the best employee, be the best that God's calling you to be for His glory alone.
We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we have been speaking about the communion of saints in preparation for Hallowtide, and Pope Leo XIV canonized 7 new saints yesterday. To give us her report on the events in Rome, we're going to go straight to Joan Lewis. Joan?
Well, greetings from Rome. As you can probably tell looking around, the crowd of 70,000 that was at the canonization yesterday is pretty much still around me. In fact, the Pope received a lot of the pilgrims who came for the canonization. He received them this morning. Now, among the 7 canonized were Blessed Bartolo Longo, an Italian Catholic lawyer who renounced his faith for Satanism, eventually returned, thank the Lord, to the Catholic Church, had a great devotion and spread it to the Rosary, and created the shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii. Now, Venezuela got its first 2 saints yesterday. They were San Jose Gregorio Hernandez Cisneros, known as the Doctor of the Poor, and Saint Maria del Carmen Rendeles Martinez, a religious sister born without her left arm, who actually founded the Servants of Jesus in Caracas in 1965. Now, there were huge delegations from both Italy and Venezuela, which you could tell by the banners and the flags and the huge shouts that went up when the saints' names were mentioned. Papua New Guinea also had its very first saint, Peter Toroth. He was a catechist, and he was martyred during the invasion by the Japanese during World War II. There was also Saint Ignatius Maloyan. He was an Armenian archbishop, and he was martyred during the Armenian genocide when he refused to convert to Islam. Also canonized were Italians. Sister Vincenza Maria Poloni, she founded the Sisters of Mercy of Verona, and Salesian Sister Maria Troncati. Her amazing background, she was a nurse, a dentist, a surgeon, and a catechist. She worked for 44 years among the indigenous people of the Ecuadorian Amazon rainforest. So, as you can probably see behind me on the Basilica, there were 7 beautiful tapestries of the new saints, and they just added a bit to the color of the square with all the banners, the flags, headdresses, and scarves. Now, Pope Leo, in his homily, he stressed faith, and he said that faith is what is most precious in God's eyes. This is the bond of love between God and man. Our relationship with God is one of the most important because at the beginning of all time, He created everything out of nothing. And at the end of time, He will save mortal beings from nothingness. Pope Leo prayed the new saints will assist us in our faith, and saying faith on earth sustains our hope for heaven. Now, what was great, following Mass, the Holy Father, just minutes before 1 p.m., he got into the white Jeep, he circled St. Peter's Square, and went up and down Via della Conciliazione for a full 25 minutes. So a beautiful, joyful day. You can still feel the joy of the people around me. And you know what? Let's invoke the new saints in prayer. Back to you.
Joan, what a wonderful sharing. And your excitement comes through your face. The saints do indeed inspire us, especially during this holy time as we move towards All Saints Eve, All Saints Day, All Souls. What an opportunity to repent, to believe in the gospel, to pray for all souls, to give thanks for the saints. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have professor, author, and Catholic speaker John Acquaviva on the show to speak with us about the connection between body image, sports, and sports through the lens of the Catholic Church. Body image, sports, through the lens of the Catholic Church. So very, very important. I mean, who's not involved in sports in some form? You have a favorite team, you might be a coach, you're a player, you're a parent, you're an educator in a school. And so how do we do this as Catholics? Mm-hmm. What's the spirituality that goes with that? You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Let us finish the race together and receive the crown of righteousness, as St. Paul said, that was for him and for all people. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.